It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Let us welcome tonight's guest. Something tells me he'd do very well on The Apprentice. Philanthropist and executive VP of the Trump Organization, Eric Trump. And standing next to him is considered a fertility treatment. Co-host of Fox and Friends Weekend, Pete Hegseth. She gets arrested just to save money on delousing. Fox News contributor, Kat Tipoff. And he's so big, Jumbo Shrimp, tell him, just call us Shrimp. My massive sidekick in the NWA World Television Champion, Tyrus.
Oh, Greg, I am the only girl again.
Yes.
It's like Guy Town in here.
Ooh, it does feel like Guy Town. You know what that means?
Guy Town, gambling with your buddies, lifting weights. Hey, beer is cool. Watching sports with your friends and being handsome. But it's okay if you're not handsome. Guy Town!
Ow! Oh, he tries to kill me.
I know. No, you know what? He doesn't deserve it. You're like the president of Guy Town.
I'd like to love that.
I'd like you to give me the key to the city.
Yeah, that's a good compliment.
Sorry. You know, Pete, I kind of glossed over it in the monologue, but it's like the biggest part of this. The invasion of privacy. Like, how are they, what are you going to, I mean, you're going to go and ask people, like, what their sexual orientation is or if they have a disabled issue that that you can't visually see?
So the ratings were the second worst.
Yes.
This is only going to go downhill.
Right.
It's called Aperture 2025. Mm-hmm. And there's four different standards, standard A, B, C, and D. The second standard in standard A is the story must center on women, LGBTQ people, a racial or ethnic group, or the disabled.
Right.
Now, that's just on camera.
Right.
Then in standard B, you go to the crew and you have to, you know, whoever choreographs it or whoever does the cinematography, that person has to check a certain number of, I mean, you have ceased caring about whatever story you're telling and having the best people telling it, and you've become a woke factory. Their ratings are only going to go down even more. I say, just watch the Patriot Awards.
Yes, there
okay?
you go.
That's
good
all
plug.
You need. That's all
That's
you
good
need.
Plug. You know what? I just thought of something, the solution. Imagine moving to Hollywood because as one person, you ticked all the boxes.
Yeah,
right? Like, you would be the most in-demand person if you were minority, disabled, gay, lesbian. You just have to get it all in one box.
And handicapped.
And handicapped.
Did. Sorry.
Ably challenged. I apologize to the people at home.
Isn't that so creepy, though?
Yeah.
Like, they have to ask you, like, okay, who do you have sex with?
Right.
Remember, with, like, the whole thing used to be, like, what you do in your bedroom is your business.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's, like, documenting what you do in your bedroom is part of our business model so we can then report it to a third party.
Exactly.
And that's progressive? That's creepy.
It is creepy. It's not as creepy as the cameras in your bathroom, but it's pretty creepy. I still don't know why you have them in there.
Well, they're displayed promptly.
yes.
Like, reliability, obviously.
Yeah, it's like they're hidden cameras.
Eric, we've all been talking about the slap. Did it make the Oscars more interesting for you? Did you care one way or the other?
Well, it's the only thing that was interesting about the Oscars. No one wants to watch this crap.
Yeah.
By the way, I mean, to your point before about checking all these boxes, in all fairness, they've been checking these boxes for years, right? They haven't been as public about it, but they've been checking the boxes. And I would actually bet anybody here right now, name three movies from this year. I mean, Pete, name three movies from this year. The reality is you can't do it because they don't make good stuff anymore. I mean, go back 10 years with Saving Private Ryan and Gladiator and these, you know, these great movies.
Everybody only white people. Eric,
clearly,
make me sick.
Clearly. But everybody loved going to them, right? You can't name a movie these days. And by the way, you no longer have characters. No one relates to these people, right? You have the Jesse Smollett's now and you have the Alec Baldwin's. And I mean, think about that if it was a Republican that would have shot some woman and killed her. And think about last night. Think about if I went up and I would have slapped Chris Rock. It would have been a hate crime. It would have been, they would have literally arrested me on the spot.
You wouldn't have made it out of there.
There's a double standard that's happening, and the whole country sees it, and that's why literally half of the country has tuned this crap out. It's no longer interesting. These are no longer our role models. We know their personal lives, and we don't like their personal lives, so we don't want to watch them on a screen pretend to be somebody that they're not.
Yeah, you know, I do think there were some good movies last year. Right, Tyrus? Did we?
None of our movies ever make the list, Greg.
Well, I think Licorice Pizza was nominated. That was the only one I recognized.
Yeah, but everything else, like, that's what the Academy Awards are. They're no longer. I thought about it. Yesterday, I was like, I guess we're a long way from Sally Field's speech, which was even before my time. But there was something that where the Academy Awards used to bring everybody together to celebrate excellence. Mm-hmm. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Now it's bring everyone together to be noticed. Yeah. So it's not even a star on the stage. Everyone there needs the mic on them.
Right.
Everyone is special. And the problem is when you get a whole room full of special people, nothing ever gets done.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's why, and it's not just in movies. We see it across the country. Filling a box and you're not qualified is worse than saying, I don't want you working here because you're black. Mm-hmm. You're making it horrible for everybody because it's like, what do I have to do to myself to get a job? It's no longer integrity, resume, education. It is, I have to dye my hair purple, I gotta put a nose in my ring, and I gotta say that I'm black and I'm a breeder, but I'm not really into heterosexuality. I just do it for the kids. So that puts me in one lane. And therefore, I fit a that's where we're at now. And not one person asked me about, well, do you have anything?
Yeah.
You know, do you have any education for rocket scientists? Hello, I'm a breeder who doesn't identify being with women. So when do I start?
Yeah, that's all you need. That's all you need.
All right, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Pull up a chair and join me, Rachel Campos Duffy.
And me, former U.S. Congressman Sean Duffy, as we share our perspective on the discussions happening at kitchen tables across America.
Download From the Kitchen Table, the Duffys at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you download podcasts.
President Biden checks his notes while telling us, ignore my direct quotes. On Monday, President Biden referred to a printed cheat sheet and not the label with his name and return address on it, while claiming he had no apologies for his remarks that Putin cannot remain in power. And that's how he'll start World War III, with cliff notes. On the bright side, the president can still read. Among the notes captured on that photo, I was expressing the moral outrage I felt towards the actions of this man. Why do you need notes for that? Also, I was not articulating a change in policy. You know, it's sad. Biden needs notes to explain what he said without notes. Meanwhile, one former KGB agent said Biden's hindering negotiations.
Every time our president makes a personal attack on Vladimir Putin, I cringe. Because Putin is paranoid. So why negotiate? And when somebody like that is in a corner, then watch out. He might actually go to weapons that nobody wants.
All right. Sorry, Boris. That's just how Joe rolls. He's scared corn pop out of using nukes, and he'll do the same with Putin. Of course, Biden's got plenty of support in his corner. Unfortunately, so did Michael Spinks. A boxing reference. Former Defense Secretary Leon Panetta says Joe stumbles are because he's Irish.
At this point in the game, you've really got to keep your messages very simple and very direct. And I think this created some confusion that wasn't helpful. I happen to think that Joe Biden, is Irish, really has a great deal of compassion when he sees that people are suffering.
In that case, I've seen drunk leprechauns with better judgment. A bigot would say, not me. If Joe's so sensitive to people suffering, here's a tip, stop causing it. And you know it's bad when Don Lemon is defending you.
Quite honestly, I think this is a media manufactured story. I think we should ease off a little bit because that's not what the president said. He did not say regime change.
Kind of did. But at least when he says something stupid, no one's watching. So what does Joe think?
Oh, yeah. Look, that guy's right. I'm Irish, man. When I get emotional, I start seeing moons and stars and clovers. And then I am ready to go. I am ready to dance, man.
That was unexpected. I like it when I don't watch stuff before I do this show. Eric, he's Irish, so we should cut him some slack.
What is it with picking on the Irish this week? Right? So Biden, earlier this week, he goes, I may be Irish, but I'm not stupid, which is like the greatest disrespect. Why is everybody picking on the Irish? I love the Irish. The Irish are the greatest people in the world. But, like, this whole thing is just theater. It's all a joke. Like, can you think of a time where we've ever had to have France be the negotiators for America? Like, the fact that we can't actually talk to world leaders because the world leaders either disrespect us, don't like us because we mess up our foreign policy. I mean, we can't call Putin. We can't call Saudi Arabia. We can't call anybody right now.
Yeah.
And we actually have to negotiate through a country that's one-tenth our size from a GDP standpoint. Like, to me, that's awfully sad.
Yeah,
it shouldn't happen. America should be able to pick up the phone. The president of the United States should be able to pick up the phone from the Oval Office and call and actually effectuate change, and this guy can't do it.
Maybe it's the type of phone. If it was a rotary phone, Tyrus, Biden would be all over it. But these things are very...
For real? You know, he really?
Yeah.
Simple Joe, for real? Like,
yeah. Well, no. I mean, he can handle a push button one.
You know how many staff members have to pull his fingers out of the phone?
And yes.
It'd be wrapped around his neck and the other cord.
Remember how long when somebody had a zero, you had to go all the way around.
What'd you say? They had to redial? They had to click it? Yeah.
Yeah.
I heard stories.
I'm not
going to.
You know what? I use notes all the time.
Okay. I know what? I was prepared for that.
Yes.
Okay. But your notes are complicated and probably a little obscene.
True.
His notes were so simple that it is sad.
Yeah.
The questions were written for him. So that means that the press had to submit those questions for them. Mm-hmm. And a cheat sheet is if this, if that. This was a compete sheet. Mm-hmm. So basically it was, you're going to get asked this question and this answer. And this man had to hold it in his hand. He still couldn't leave it in front of him. Yep. He couldn't remember three questions.
Yeah.
He couldn't remember. And they were always like, and they were his thoughts were the answers.
Yeah.
It wasn't a math test.
No.
It wasn't a litmus test. It was asking him about something he said 24 hours ago. If there is no jokes aside, this is a man who's suffering from dementia or to the point where, and that right there, that should be the thing that the Senate is looking at. That is the type of notes, not even written in his own hand. Someone had to write it for him.
Yeah.
And it's scary.
Kat, he was expressing moral outrage. You don't even have to. I don't even have to write notes for my moral outrage. But then again, I'm never morally outraged because I'm so disgusting.
That's true. You don't really have moral out. I would call it moral outrage. Outrage. Yeah, I think the problem is that I don't think Putin watches Don Lemon tonight.
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
The issue this whole time wasn't that, oh, that's not what he said. You have to get it right. It's that Putin did think that he was talking about regime change. Mm-hmm. So that is a problem, just objectively. Mm-hmm. He's obviously feels threatened by this because Biden, United States has nukes. Obviously, he feels threatened. That's what people are concerned about. Not that, oh, he said a bad thing. It's about what the consequences of that could potentially be.
All right, Pete, I'm going to ask you the question, the hot question.
Okay.
Ooh, that should be a new thing where I go, we're going to ask the hot question. And then this thing comes out and goes, hot question. There is a belief, and I think Neil Ferguson mentioned this in Bloomberg, that the White House has a desire to keep the war going in order to bleed Russia dry, which cynically and willingly accepts thousands of dead Ukrainians. Like, we want this to keep going because it hurts Russia, and we know that that means more. We want this to go on. Do you buy that?
No, because it infers competency on the Biden administration.
Oh, you mean that they actually have a strategy?
As if they actually have a strategy.
Right.
You don't spend 2 months before the war breaks out saying you're going to issue sanctions to deter the war.
Right.
And then the war actually happens.
And yeah.
Okay. And then it becomes a morass and you go for 3 days over to Poland and you say, we might use chemical weapons. Oh, we're going to help. We're going to send American troops into your country. And oh, by the way, regime change. That's where we're at.
Yeah.
And then he walks to the podium in the White House. You look at the top of that card. It says tough Putin Q&A.
Yeah, I know.
What does that mean?
It's brutal.
The toughest question you're going to get is the absolutely most obvious question you're going to be asked, because you'd said at the end of the script when you went off your teleprompter that Putin needs to go. And your answer is moral outrage in one bullet, and you repeat it over and over again.
Yep.
I love playing the what if Trump game, especially when there's a Trump here.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like
what if Trump would say, how quickly would they invoke the 25th Amendment right now if it were Trump?
Mm-hmm.
In 10 seconds. Instead, they're playing defense for this guy who now today they're trying to explain why we're now training Ukrainian troops in Poland because he said they were going to Ukraine. And then he said, no, we're training them, which we're not doing.
Yeah.
It's an absolute mess and it's an embarrassment and it's unacceptable.
I mean, the fact is, that's humiliating to give him that. And to they had to tell him, we don't trust you to do this on your own. It's like, OK, we let you go out there on your own once. You screwed up. And then you screwed up a second. We're giving you notes. I mean, it's kind of like a punishment.
They could only fit two questions on his notes.
I know. All right. This makes me sick to my stomach. Or it could have been the chili. We're out of time. Thanks to Eric Trump, Pete Hegseth, Kat Tippett, Tyrus, Fox News Tonight with Evil Shannon Bremis. Next time, Greg Gutfeld. And I love you, America.
Listen to the all-new Brett Baer podcast featuring Common Ground, in-depth talks with lawmakers from opposite sides of the aisle, along with all your Brett Baer favorites like his all-star panel and much more. Available now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.